You know, it is, as we said, national... Well, excuse me. Let me back up. It's Iowa Severe Weather Awareness Week. Every state kind of does it at a different time. But right as we are at the precipice, if you will, of what we have deemed severe weather season with possible tornadoes and severe thunderstorms and the lot, it's a good opportunity to talk about what it means, severe weather, some of the precautions that are taking place, and plan in place with your family for being ready for just about anything that occurs. And you know, when you talk about planning, you talk about natural disasters, you talk about being ready, a great resource, of course, is the Delaware County Emergency Management. And Mandy Bieber, you know, filling your role in well. I mean, this is beginning of your second or third year in that position.
Going into my third.
I was going to say, it's about third year. And we were talking about this off the air. They said, you know, we had a pretty busy season last year. And I said, yeah, it just didn't feel like it. Did we or did we not? How many did we do last year?
There were several severe weather events. Anytime that there's a watch or warning, then I go on duty and start monitoring the weather and then getting people ready ahead of time. It seemed like we went a long time with nothing in between events. And then when we did get something, it was bad. So
now I'm going to throw you for a loop here. But when people think emergency management, yes, weather alerts and preparedness for that sort of thing is always in there. But emergencies in the county could mean a number of things. I'm thinking about the story that just happened in Jones County. Their lift station in the city of Anamosa dumping, they're estimating about 50,000 gallons of raw sewage into what could be into the Wapsipinicon. Is that in your blanket? Not necessarily for Jones, but if it happened in Delaware, is that kind of under your jurisdiction too?
Correct. Yeah, we would be assisting locals in helping to monitor the water situation and then alerting people downstream as to what was coming and what they needed to do to prepare for that. And then obviously getting public health involved as well.
Now, obviously, it's about management, which means planning. And each and every year and throughout the year, you and your volunteers, your employees, the city, the county people are sitting down every year and taking a look at protocols and plans. In fact, this week, you've wrapped up the testing yesterday. How did it go?
Correct. Alert Iowa functioned exactly as we hoped it would. You can get those alerts on the Delaware County Emergency Management Facebook page. That went through well. The Delaware County Emergency Management website, that warning went through. So, and then if you're signed up individually, you can get those watches and warnings right to your phone.
Which we have all of us here at KMCH so that we could then react and be here on the radio. And I know during the winter season, I will say this, those notices, those weather outlooks this past winter during the blizzard season, they have gotten more and more accurate. You know what I mean? Because especially with
Correct.
The blizzard,
yep.
They were pinpointing almost precisely exactly. And in the years past, admittedly, we'd look at them and say, okay, yeah, whatever. They're getting better and better at this. And of course, that makes your job that much easier, does it?
Yes, very much so. I rely very heavily on the National Weather Service. So they provide us with decision support services. And then if we have events going on in the county, I always file with the National Weather Service so that they are actually watching and pinpointing that specific location for those events. And then, again, they have their computer modeling. Their forecasting has gotten a lot better. Just the historical data that they have to go off of. And then now they're starting to incorporate AI into their forecast. So using that artificial intelligence to try to figure out what these systems are going to do. But predicting spring winter weather is very hard.
Yeah, understandably. But of course, at the core of what we are doing, what the organization is about, is protecting the citizens of Delaware County. And it begins with the family unit. And, you know, as we're having these conversations as a state, as a county, they really need to be happening in and around the dinner table, in amongst the family. And what advice, what are some of the critical things that you say those conversations should include?
Sure. So the most critical elements of a family disaster plan are establishing a plan of communication if all the communication methods are down. So if you can't get on the internet and you can't use a cell phone, what is your family's plan to connect with each other? Do you have a meeting spot? Do you have an out-of-town relative that you are all going to check in with so that they can kind of coordinate everybody together? And then establish your shelter and evacuation information. And then knowing that your emergency preparedness kit is ready to go, that everybody knows where it's at, who's going to grab it. And then finally, practicing the plan. So having that muscle memory of, if this happens, this is what we do. And actually working through that, especially with smaller children, the more you work with them, the less scary it'll be to them if something actually happens.
I remember as a child, I was a child of the 70s and 80s, and my mom made us walk through it at least once that I remember. And then after that, Gen X, latchkey kid kind of generation. but at least we had an idea on there. Now, in our household, we're fortunate. We've got a great spot that can serve as kind of the shelter. Marcy and I have had an ongoing conversation in the last couple of days. I say that our tornado shelter, where we should go to, is the room that has the water heater in it, because it has got an access door to the outside world. And she says it should be another, but I think that that makes sense. In your opinion, as I know she's listening, which do you think? I mean, any spot where you can feel secure is good. Yep. But if you had to choose between the two, which would you pick?
I would go to the most interior room of your house that has the least amount of glass.
Ah! You're just proving that she's right once again. You know, when you are preparing, though, what are the challenges that you may face? The families that worry me, and I know that you're probably not even thinking about this, are the families that have children with limited physical abilities. You know, if your child is in, you've got to be able to get them in a safe place, but you got to be able to do it quickly.
Correct.
What are some of the other ones that may be more common hurdles that families face?
Sure. So some of the challenges that families face are obviously budgetary concerns. You know, we're all, with inflation and everything, everybody's trying to just kind of get by. So just stashing a little bit away, a little bit at a time. So you don't have to build big right away. It doesn't have to be special survival prep food or anything like that. It can be as simple as, when I go to the grocery store this week, I'm going to pick up an extra amount of X. Mm-hmm. And then setting that aside in your preparedness kit. And when you go to the hardware store, it's picking up an extra roll of duct tape or an extra roll of plastic sheeting. Those kind of things. Extra rolls of toilet paper to have on hand just in case.
Well, and not only picking them up, but knowing where they're at, too. You know, I like the idea, and we've been preaching about it for years, about an emergency kit. You know, and if you have a designated point for, say, a tornado shelter in your house, you've got that interior room that's free of glass and on there, maybe that's where you store the emergency kit, so you don't have to try to find it when you go down there. It's already set up. And check the batteries on the flashlights and the radios.
Yes.
That's because you don't want to get down there and then go, oh, when was the last time we changed the batteries?
Yes. Yep. So when you change the clocks, change the batteries in your smoke detectors, your radios, and your flashlights.
Indeed. Now, are there other special considerations that we need to keep in mind when we're thinking about family preparedness?
Yes, there's several. So one of the major things you need to think about is, what are the medical needs of your family? So if you're on prescription medication, making sure that you have kind of a little backup stash of that that'll get you through until pharmacies open again. And then thinking about your responsibilities for others. Are you responsible for caretaking for another person? Are you a first responder that's going to be gone and you need to make sure that your family is ready to function without you? And then if you have pets or service animals, making sure that you have food and water for them. And then if you have livestock, making sure that you have livestock care arranged and a plan for what you're going to do with your livestock if there's a disaster. Considering the ages of the family members in your house. So if you have an infant, that's a lot different than taking care of an elderly family member during a disaster. So making sure you have those different supplies on hand. And then if you have anyone in your family who's autistic on the spectrum or has mental health needs, making sure that they have what they need to get through this. You know, does that include noise-canceling headphones, fidget toys? Maybe for you, having a fidget toy in your disaster plan is a big deal.
You know, we talk about it at this time of year because of, you know, the tornado season, the severe thunderstorm season. The chance gets a little higher for flash flooding in some areas as well. But all of these rules, I can picture us not this last winter, but the winter before last, when we had the really bad ice conditions and Highway 38 was shut down. We had to have a plan in place at my house. This year, with the blizzards and all of those, we had to be these things. So it's a good plan to have year round. And I think about what my family went through with derecho when we lived in Cedar Rapids. It was 10 days where there was no power in our house. And if we weren't able to have the blessing of some other things, we would have had to, much like our neighbors that were around us, figure out how to function without power whatsoever. You know, so these plans are all important to have.
Yes, having a plan for power outage is probably one of the best things you can have. So knowing that if you have any medical devices, and that includes things that you wouldn't think of, like lift chairs, making sure that people can get in and out of where they need to get in and out of. And then also, like, thinking about what type of house you have. So mobile homes, and I know the new shouses or barn dominiums are in, but making sure that you have a plan or a shelter in place for those kind of houses. And then maybe even considering purchasing a commercial storm shelter.
Indeed, all of these things. Now, of course, there's a vast array of information out there. How can folks get information here locally to help them in their preparedness planning?
Sure. So they can always reach out to the emergency management office. I'd be happy to help anyone that wants to put together a plan. And then the best place for information on preparing is the website called ready.gov. And that will walk you through step by step exactly what you need to do. And it also does include those special considerations. And then also the American Red Cross is a great resource to use.
And see, and we're celebrating Red Cross Month as well. Mandy, thank you. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. In these circumstances, well, it's a pleasure to talk to you in the emergency circumstances as well. It's good to know that we have a great face and a great team to help us as a county to feel safe. Certainly, indeed. We're glad that you could share your morning with us.
Thank you very much.
We are glad to shine that spotlight, a part of our guest of the day here on KMCH, brought to you by Bill Thomas, Farm Bureau Financial Services.